Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are the one who saves us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It was New Year's Eve at London's Garrick Club, and the British dramatist, or dramatist, or however you pronounce that word, Frederick Lonsdale, was asked by Seymour Hicks to reconcile with a fellow member. The two had quarreled in the past and never restored their relationship. "You must," Hicks said to Lonsdale, "it's very unkind to be unfriendly at such a time. Go over now and wish him a happy new year." So, Lonsdale got up, crossed the room, and spoke to his enemy. "I wish you a happy new year," he said, "but only one." We laugh at this. I hope you laughed anyway. But it's a sad truth. We human beings have a great propensity to hold grudges. And it's perhaps the most, I think it's the one thing that we Christians have the most difficulty with at times. We're all guilty of it in some ways. And this idea of reconciliation receives consideration in the Belhard Confession. Now, this is my last on this series. It has been my hope to study it, in a sense, with you, but also to share why I think it is a confession that the true church and the country needs at this time. I started this series giving this background of how the Belhard Confession came to be, and also about the place of confessions in the church. I spoke of how it was an attempt for the church to speak out how they saw God acting in the world at that time, and what the response of the church needed to be at that particular time in history. Now, the second part of the series made a case for unity. And I talked about how under God, all people are united, and that anything that broke that unity was considered sin. Last week, I made the case for justice. The Belhard lifts up justice for all people as a mark of the true church. And today, I want to talk about how the Belhard makes a case for reconciliation. And this case is probably the most amazing in that it was used in the eventual South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission, or TRC. And this is how the TRC was described on their official website. The South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission, TRC, was set up by the Government of National Unity to help deal with what happened under apartheid. The conflict during this period resulted in violence and human rights abuses from all sides. No section of society escaped these abuses. Article 3 of the Belhard, which you have as an insert in your bulletin today, speaks of reconciliation. And I think it's important to know that this confession formed the basis for the churches of South Africa to participate in the TRC process. In our scripture readings today, Jesus makes it clear that we are to love God first and foremost. But that also includes loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, I think it's easy for us to take neighbors in a little bit more literal sense than maybe Jesus intended, to think of neighbors as those who live next to us, or those who think like us, or those who believe what we believe. However, Jesus had a larger view much larger. He thought of the world as a world community. The world wasn't the Jews and the Romans and the Greeks and so forth. He thought of it as the world as God's people. We were all neighbors. We are all in this together, and the only way that we get through it is by loving each other. Loving our neighbors in the community. And the author of 2 Corinthians makes this very explicit. All this is from God who reconciled himself through reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. We've been given that message. And we've been given it to share with others. Now, some might say, well, this means that we've been given the task of reconciling people to God, not necessarily to each other. But I beg to differ on that. Go back to Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Reconcile with your neighbors, earthly neighbors. The Belhar Confession states, any teaching which attempts to legitimize such forced separation by appeal to the gospel and is not prepared to venture on the road of obedience and reconciliation, but rather out of prejudice, fear, selfishness, and unbelief, denies in advance the reconciling power of the gospel, must be considered ideology and false doctrine. Humanity loves to build its walls, false walls, of security and ideology. And the confession says that is diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The following is an old but true story. But the feuding it also describes still happens all too often. The oldest Christian site in Ireland is said to be St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin. Maybe some of you have visited it. It's a beautiful edifice. But it also has an interesting piece of history involving one of its doors. It is known as the Door of Reconciliation. And there's a rectangular hole hacked through the center of the door. In 1492, when Columbus came to America, two prominent Irish families, the Ormonds and the Kildares, were in the midst of a bitter feud. As the feud grew and turned to an all-out fight, the Earl of Ormond was besieged by the Earl of Kildare. The Earl of Ormond and his family and followers took refuge in the chapter house of St. Patrick's Cathedral and bolted themselves in. However, as the siege wore on, the Earl of Kildare concluded the feuding was foolish. Here were two families worshiping the same God in the same church, living in the same country, trying to kill each other. So Kildare called out to the Earl of Ormond and pledged that he would not seek revenge or indulge in villainy. He wanted the Ormonds to come out and the feud to be over. But the Earl of Ormond was convinced that it was a scheme full of treachery and refused to come out of the cathedral. So Kildare grabbed a spear and chopped a hole in the door with it. Thrust his hand through the hole. And there was a tense moment until his hand was grasped by another hand inside the church. The door was open and the two men embraced, and thus ended the feud. The Scottish have a saying, maybe you have heard it, chancing one's arm. It came from this incident at St. Patrick's. It means to take a chance, especially in reaching out to someone in reconciliation. If you look at the picture on the cover of your bulletin, reaching across the divide, it's a statue, or several statues. It's in Londonderry, Ireland. And it's a statue of reconciliation among the warring factions of Northern Ireland that we all heard about for so long. Chancing one's arm. The TRC in South Africa certainly chanced their arm as they laid bare the atrocities that had happened on all sides of the conflict. But in the end, reconciliation and peace happened at a far greater speed than if they had just arrested and put people in prison for many things. They did. Some were in prison, but many more were granted amnesty. Humanity has this idea that people must pay for their sins. And sometimes that's true. But many times, what happens instead is we end up shaming those who hurt us. And I ask you, how many people do you know have changed their minds because they were shamed? Often violence and shaming only gets you more violence. We see this played out on the world stage over and over. All you have to do is look over to the land where Jesus walked and you see this is true. Tit for tat, tit for tat, tit for tat, over and over and over again. The only thing winning at violence gets you is a winner. It doesn't say anything about who's right. That's why I hate wars. It doesn't prove right, it only proves might. And maybe some smarts and luck along as well. The gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to be reconciled to our neighbors, to work it out. And even those neighbors who disagree with us. You know, I was writing this, and I have this thing, my daughter keeps saying, "Don't do it, Dad." But I have this thing about reading comments on Facebook and other things. Sometimes reading the comments helps me understand maybe a little better about the article. But that doesn't happen often. But I've decided that I don't like the comments section because it does not allow for reconciliation. No one can be reconciled through just words. Remember how I said in the children's talk that love is an action? We need to see the other person. We need to look into and know who they are. We need to look in their eyes, and they need to look into our eyes and see the neighbor that is there. When we use just words, it's too easy to hide. We were talking about it a little bit in Fourth Sunday Focus today. And the idea, a lot of times, I said, you know, a lot of times people are writing sarcastically, and we don't know it's sarcasm, unless they say in parentheses afterwards, sarcasm, which they do sometimes. When we use words, it's too easy to hide, it's too easy to make assumptions. And then the shaming starts. I do not think it's just a coincidence that the rise of hate and shaming in our nation's political and religious rhetoric corresponds to the rise of internet use in our country and in the world. Now, I know we've always had some bad rhetoric going around, but it just seems like it's so much worse. We've always had disagreements, but before the internet, you know, we had to face the person we were disagreeing with when we made our comments. Unless, of course, those people were writing for the newspapers. But when we face the person in our disagreements, we see the humanity of the other. We see the neighbor, and they see her neighbor. I find it interesting, and I've thought of this throughout this series, the Belhar Confession mirrors many of the same things that were said in the Confession of 1967. But especially this theme of reconciliation. The Confession of 1967 was written by the United Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. Those of you that were part of it then will remember that that was the Northern Church that reunited with the Southern Church in 1983, and we once again became the Presbyterian Church USA. And it was written to respond to the racial and anti-war riots of the 1960s. Listen to the confession statement from that confession of faith. In Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Jesus Christ is God with humankind. He is the eternal Son of the Father who became human and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. He is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue and complete his mission. This work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the foundation of all confessional statements about God, humanity, and the world. Therefore, the church calls all people to be reconciled to God and to one another. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. We've come a long way since that confession. Although, as we've seen lately, perhaps we haven't come as far as we thought we had. But we have come a long way. And it's confessions like these that help us to get there, to where we want to get. It's sad in some ways that we need the Belhar Confession again, or now, when we had the Confession of 67 back then. But we do need it. We need that voice in the church. May God help us to listen to God's voice speaking to us through the voice of the Gospels and through the voice of the Spirit that speaks through the voice of the church. Amen.